Indeed, it's a lovely day. We have settled the truth that every day it's a lovely day, right? So nothing special in a sense about today, isn't it? What can be so special if it's lovely already? Or if it's a wonderful, what can be more than that? It is wonderful. I don't see that on your faces. Well, that's better now. It's a bit better. It is a wonderful day. So if it's a wonderful day and we rejoice in it, acknowledging that God made it, then that should spring out a little bit and just go out through all the pores and hair. Even so, I don't worry if I can see some of you with the hair standing up like that. I know that that's the joy that comes being glad that that it's a wonderful day. God made it, and here we are. I'm especially happy to see Bethy here, that she's well alive, and that's an encouragement for me. She's not yet able to say hello, but yeah. I hope that she recognizes me in a good way. Today I would like to finalize or find the end of our series through the book of Peter, the second letter of Peter. And that's the reason why we are going to look at the last several verses, starting with verse 14. And finishing with the last one, verse 18. So 2 Peter chapter 3, 14 to 18. I'll read a passage, I'll pray, and then we will go on. Peter wrote, "So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do to other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Amen. Praise him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that's available to us. We thank you for so many gifts that are available to us. We thank you for this morning made available to us. Thank you for this place that we could congregate in this place safely and comfortably. Looking forward for a renewal of things in our hearts, on the church building, on all earth actually. When you come, things will be renewed. We are looking forward for that renewal. Renew us, we pray, through the Spirit today too, so that we might be encouraged in our walk these days, the days that we live on earth, as a gift from you. Thank you for the offering that we have been able to present. We affirm and proclaim that they too come from you, are gifts from you, and we praise you for your goodness to us. Holy Spirit, work, I pray, in our hearts. For the glory of Jesus, for the glory of the Father, for the glory of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So yes, the last portion of Peter's letter. Thank you for being patient and journeying with me through his letters. Through any passage or through any letter from the New Testament, as we read those letters, they are more than just information for our minds. Those letters, the Word of God, it's not only to inform our minds, but it's also to transform our lives. They do inform our minds, indeed, but much more goes on when we take time to consider. Like now, just sit quietly for a while and let the Word of God to wash over us and let the Holy Spirit to work on the inside. Things like that contribute to our growth. And it is proper, I found, that Peter finishes his letter with these words, grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus our Lord and Savior, grow in the knowledge of the grace and the knowledge and the grace and knowledge. So my title, to shorten it up, is Grow in the Lord. I touched upon it during the communion, that between death of a seed and a final product, there is growth. I'll touch at the beginning a little bit. I'll make some general statements about growth and things like that, and then we will adapt those to the word, because in this passage, among other things, we have hints of growth, of hints of help to grow, and that's spiritually. So let me start with the word around us, just like our Lord sometimes did. Plants. We all are familiar with plants. Plant growth, I would say, it's a natural process. So a plant grows because there is a natural process. And when I say natural process, I mean that all the necessary information and structure that promotes growth is embedded, written in the plant itself. Each cell of that particular plant contains information about its size, color, fruit, growth, propagation, everything. Each cell contains that type of information. Where does the plant get that information from? From the sun, we can say? No, there are some things that the plant gets from the sun, but not information. From the air? No. From the soil? No, there are things that plants get from all, but not that information. So let me then say that when God created the plant, he placed in its structure the growth information. The growth information about its growth. Today we know that each living organism has what has been termed as the genetic code. It's a code. That's exactly the word they use, a genetic code. An information that describes the plant, everything about it. Each seed contains the growth information. Each cell of that plant contains the growth information. This information is passed on to the next generation, to the next seed. Unless greedy corporations find technology to cancel that, to erase that, and lo and behold, the poor farmer cannot plant the seeds that he harvests because that information has been erased. So he has to go and buy seed from the corporation. This is what we did to it. But God placed in each seed the genetic code that says everything about a plant, and that genetic code is propagated to the next seed. Same with the living organisms, same with us as humans. You and I, we have that genetic code. I have the genetic code that describes me. Apart from the glasses, everything was put in that genetic code, everything. Hate, blue eyes, satin or black hair, or what, not anymore, that goes with the growth. Things like that, and much, much more, it's put in that genetic code. And part of the genetic code, it's propagated further to my daughters and through the daughters and so on and so on. Each one of my cells contains the genetic code. Each one. I won't go into it. If you want more information, our library is full of the Creation magazine, thanks to Peter, who provides them for us. It's a stack like that with Creation magazine. Wonderful reading to see what God has created, not only in the human body, but elsewhere in the nature as well. Okay. Our Lord actually pointed to the things, to these things in a simpler way. In Mark chapter 4, verse 27, he said, talking about the farmers and actually talking about the kingdom of God and trying to help the people to understand how kingdom of God works, he used the farmer. He used the planting of a seed, and he said, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he doesn't know how. Doesn't know how. We don't know how. Why? Because that mechanism, that information, that process is described in the genetic code. Of course, you know, now we know a little bit about it, and yet we don't know. No matter how much we know, yet we don't know how these things exactly work. But the farmer, once he plants the seed, roughly speaking, he can take a rest and wait for the seasons, wait for the rain, wait for everything else. The plant grows, you go at the harvest and collect the harvest. That's how God created things. We, as Christians, are children of God. We are children of God. And we have been born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, John chapter 1, verse 13, but we were born of God. And because we were born of God, because we are children of God, because we are a living organism now, it's growth also involved. So God, I would say that God placed on us spiritual growth information, let's call it like that. Every Christian born of God, or born again, as we use the term, has in him or her placed that spiritual growth information, so that we might grow to become mature children of God, if I can use the word like that, mature children of God. And I will say that the indwelling Spirit of God is the transforming Spirit that actually transforms our lives, works into, or works the maturity in our lives. The Spirit of God is a transforming Spirit, giving us all we need to grow spiritually. The Spirit is there to provide that spiritual growth information. The heart of God's Spirit is to help us grow unto the fullness of Christ. That's what Christ wants, that's what God wants, that's what the Spirit helps in the life of the believer, to grow us into the fullness of Christ. He comes loaded. He comes with gifts, he comes with fruits, he comes with all sorts of things for us to grow spiritually, until Ephesians chapter 4 verse 13, until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, as I mentioned before, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So this is what the Spirit does in us, because we as Christians, as God's people, born of God, have in us the spiritual growth information. Peter the Apostle ends his letter by these words, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. As I read these words, and sometimes other words from the Bible too, I put myself this question: is it a command? And you know, it can be taken as a command. Here we have the Word of God commanding us to grow. But then, as I think about it, can we command someone to grow? Can anyone command a plant to grow? Hey, I come here next day and I want to see you how. Or to the person, if you don't grow, you have to deal with. We can't force someone to grow. Of course, by now we know that growth is a natural, so it has to develop by its own rules. So I don't think it's a command. Is it then a prayer, a request? Please, please grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. And we can request someone, we can plead with someone to grow in the knowledge and the grace, and it doesn't really help much. Because again, growth is a natural process that develops naturally, in the sense that according to the growth. So how then am I supposed to grow? And that's the question that I would like to answer today. How then am I supposed to grow? So if the Spirit placed in me the spiritual growth information, how am I supposed to grow? So first I will make some general consideration, general statements, which I think apply for plants, for even for us, and so on. I've got two general considerations, generally, not only spiritual growth, generally. If I am to grow, I have to place myself in an environment that promotes growth. Think about a plant. We can plant seeds on our car park there. Yeah, can we? We can. No one stops us. Will they grow? Oh, you think they will grow? I'll tell you what, they won't grow. Because it's not an environment that promotes growth. Anything can happen. Someone can swipe them off, birds can come in. Even if they stay there, they won't grow because it's not an environment that promotes growth. Similarly, as a person, as a Christian, I have to place myself in an environment that promotes spiritual growth. If you suppose you want to learn the guitar, let's apply this consideration that I mentioned it. In order to learn or to grow in learning to play the guitar, I have to place myself in an environment that promotes growth. What's that environment? Practice every day. If you want to learn the guitar, you have to practice every day or be constant at that practice. Have that guitar in practice. That means you place yourself in an environment that promotes growth. And in that illustration, you have to practice, you have to use or to develop those skills for growth. So, an environment that promotes growth. Second, I have to feed myself with food that promotes growth. And when it comes to a plant, you not only need to put it in an environment that promotes growth, you have to feed that plant. And the basic feed for the plant comes from where? For the plant. Plant, yeah. From the soil. The basic food for the plant comes from the soil. What do you do when the soil is poor? Fertilizer, different things that will help. So you have to feed the plant. As a person, as babies, you know, babies will grow again because all growth information is placed in them, but you have to feed them. And what do you feed the babies with? Pizza? Not yet. Milk and stuff that is easily digestible and so on, until they grow to an age where they can choose whatever they want, you know, pizza, McDonald's, whatever, that sort of stuff. With spiritual growth, we'll get to that too. With spiritual growth, it's not a matter of food in the sense of food, but it's a matter of food in the sense of spiritual food. We'll get to that a little bit later. I mean, actually, right now. From a spiritual growth point of view, feeding doesn't refer to food as we know it. What then does it refer to? If I am to grow spiritually, what type of food am I to ingest? So, food for the mind. Food for the mind, and probably food in inverted commas. Food for the mind. What does our mind feeds? Or what helps our mind to grow? Of course, we don't think about having our heads bigger and there, but how does our mind grow when we gather information? So how do we gather information? We read, we listen, we watch things. That's exactly right. That's about all. We read, we listen, and we watch. And by reading and listening and watching, our mind develops. As soon as a baby opens the eyes, First, he starts to recognize his mom at the arm's length. And then she starts to recognize other people. And then, see, slowly, slowly, information is placed in the mind, and the mind develops. And as the baby grows, so the mind develops too. So as a spiritual person, if I don't read, if I don't listen, if I don't watch, or even if I continue to feed myself with milk, as Paul puts it in Hebrews, I'll remain a baby. I'll remain a spiritual baby. But as I read, of course, maybe no time to read. These days you can listen. You can even watch. And of course, it's important, again, what do we read? It's important, what do we listen to? And it's important, what do we watch? Okay, food for the mind. The second aspect of the food for the spiritual person is food for the heart. Now, how do we feed our heart? What feeds the heart? And let me suggest that actually what feeds the heart is love. A heart that is loved and knows love. It's a satisfied heart. And as spiritual people, as God's children, remember, when we come to God and we find peace with Him, what else God is doing to our heart? It fills it with His love. It fills it with His love. There's no way out of it. This is what I say. I think Romans chapter 5, verse 5 or something. I haven't tracked down the exact verse. But God's love is being poured into our life. That's when we first learn what love is. We might have all sorts of ideas about love. But when we come to know God, we start to know what actually love is. Because actually God is love. And we learn to love from Him. It's not only God's love that comes, but also, with God's love for us, with God's love in our hearts, we become or we start to love brothers and sisters. We start to love the other children of God. We express that love, and that feeds our heart. Our heart feeds receiving love, and our hearts feeds giving love, loving somebody. It goes both. If someone reached the point of having that love, of understanding fully that that person is loved by God, and loving others in turn, that person is really okay, close to that maturity from a spiritual point of view. And that's why I would guess, as we have it on our newsletter, one sign for the unbelievers, one sign for the world at large, that the church is God's people, it's made up of God's people, is if we love one another, that way they will know and they will glorify God. Think about what image we project outside if in the church there isn't that sort of love. When we are not able to love one another, when we find all sorts of reasons and motives not to do that, it's a bad witnessing that we project outside. So food for heart, loving God and loving the fellow believers. It's Romans 5, chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Actually, I did research it. God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. This is what it is. The third food that we can have in order to grow spiritually, it's the food of godly living. Okay, I need to explain this, don't I? Food for godly living. And what I mean by it's fellowship and charity. So we grow spiritually when we have fellowship and we practice charity. It grows us spiritually. It contributes to the spiritual growth. The community of believers exists, actually. Read Paul's letters. And after all the theology that he presents, he comes down to this community of believers who are doing good, who are doing good works. The community of believers exists to promote godly living, observing and imitating. As we gather together, we observe and imitate. Please imitate the good people. Please imitate the saints. Imitate the people who follow Christ. And that's what Paul was saying. Follow me as I follow Christ. So observing and imitating and being ready for the good works that God prepared for us to be involved. Whatever good we are able to do has been long time ago prepared by God for you and for me. And Paul writes to Titus chapter 3 verse 8, this is a truth, trustworthy saying, and I want to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent, and whatever that is excellent promotes spiritual growth, helps me grow, because these things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Everyone profits when you and I, we are doing good. So I said I'm going to give some general considerations, which I took from the world, or I took from different parts of the scripture. But what about our passage? Why then I would title the passage, because this passage can have many other titles, and we can explore and mine from that passage many other ideas and things. But why did I choose the growth idea? Because there are at least three expressions that actually pertain to the idea of growth. So the question was that I put myself, is there anything in our text, in our passage, in those verses, remember 14 to 18, is there anything that might be of help in our growth? And I said there is. And actually the first verse, just as it starts, so the verse 14 in our passage, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Let me test you. What phrase in this sentence points to growth? Make every effort. Make every effort. So we've seen that when we are in an environment where growth is promoted, we grow. Because growth is natural. We have to place ourselves in that environment. Make every effort, writes Peter. You know these things. All the theology that he wrote before, regarding the false teachers, regarding the knowledge, regarding the second coming of the Lord, and all those things. Knowing those things, make every effort. Place yourself in a learning and in a growth environment. And making an effort means also keep at it. Keep at it. Do it constantly, or don't give up, and make an effort. Because not always things are, you know, with a red carpet, just like we have in the church here. Sometimes there is no red carpet, but make every effort to place yourself in an environment that promotes growth. So that's the first thing that I found, that it actually helps us to understand that we ought to grow, and we grow if we make effort. I will not go into details of what kind of effort we can make, but it's something that goes beyond or above being comfortable doing it, don't you think? A bit more, just a notch up. The other thing, or the other verse that helps us in this growth process is verse 15. Verse 15 says like this: bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God have gave him. What phrase here will point to a growth? This is easy. Bear in mind. So make an effort, place yourself. Bear in mind. What am I to bear in mind? What am I to bear in mind? What am I to keep in my mind? What am I to put in my mind? Well, for example, Peter's letter. What about Paul's letter? Because Peter says, well, I wrote you these, but also Paul wrote those things. And we all wrote the same, similar, because we are all inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's all scriptures. Bear in mind these things. Keep them in mind. enrich your mind with these things. Still want to learn the guitar? The other thing, if you want to learn the guitar, it's not only to practice, because before practice you have to have a guitar, for example, see, make an effort, buy one. The other thing is learn the musical notation. You have to learn some other things that pertain to music, and then you practice. So enrich your mind, bear in mind those things. And as you bear in mind those things, you become stable, you become knowledgeable, you become to grow. So you provide for your mind that environment of growth. And lastly, I only said I found three of them. The last one I found in verse 17. And Peter wrote, therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, so that's that, we're waiting for verse 17. Be on your guard so that you might not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. Verse 17. Because let's have verse 17. Wait. Okay. What he gives us or help us in our growth, spiritual growth? Be on your guard. Be on your guard. So it's helpful, and we grow assimilating information. But as I hinted before, it's important, what do we assimilate? What do we assimilate? And of course, when it comes to spiritual formation, spiritual growth, we ought to assimilate those truthful things, the things that build up, because there is so much information out there. And in Peter's case, and in Paul's case, in our case, there's so much fake information, falsehood, false teachers that try to derail people from the truth. Be on your guard. And of course, as we know those things, being on our guard keeps us on the right track, in the right environment to grow spiritually. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. It's no point of knowing things about Jesus. There might be some point in knowing information about Jesus. But as we read the scriptures, as we fellowship together, as we express that love of God in the community of believers, we come to know Him. Okay? Not about Him, but Him. We come to know Him in our brother, in our sister, needs, in the help, in the whatever happens in that Christian community under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, Lord and Savior, Savior and Lord Jesus. So growth, we have to wind up or wind down. Growth occurs naturally. God has created in us with inbuilt growth information, as persons, but also as His children. And the Holy Spirit, it's always at work in our lives to see us mature. Yes? Okay? Spiritual growth occurs naturally when we place ourselves in a growth-promoting environment and feed with the growth-promoting nutrients. Every child of God will grow given these conditions. That's not debatable. That God promised, and that's what the Holy Spirit works at. Each child of God will grow given the right environment conditions. Why we don't grow? The answer is obvious, isn't it? We are not placing ourselves in our growth-promoting environment, and we don't feed ourselves with food that promotes growth. Hence, Peter and every other apostles, I think, were so keen to encourage the believers to pay attention to their surrounding and intake. I hope and pray that as we studied Peter and as we're finishing now, we will maybe give a little bit more attention to our environment and our food as spiritual people. May God be blessed and honored in all that we do for His glory and honor. Amen.